Our next story is about an influential radio DJ that you've probably never heard of.
Hello, it's Saturday night at KCRW 89.9 FM. My name's Deirdre. I'll be your host once you pour yourself a drink and think about dancing.
Before streaming, before the internet, Deirdre O'Donohue hosted a popular late-night radio show on member station KCRW in Southern California back in the 80s and early 90s. The show was called Snap.
Deirdre would describe herself in Snap as playing, quote, new, unusual, imaginative, inventive, and bent music.
That's KCRW producer Mike Dodge Weiskop. He has spent the last few years, along with KCRW producer Bob Carlson, digitizing and remastering recordings of Deirdre's shows.
All right, now what I need you to do, we have to do a little on-air sound check here, so I need you to strum for a minute.
And I'm going to be singing quite loud. Don't have my guitar up too loud, because okay. I'm really rubbish.
Snap often brought in bands to play live in the studio.
Give me a sample of singing.
She was very devoted to underground music, music that hadn't at that point received a wide exposure, if any exposure at all.
Some of those artists were, or were soon to be, big names, like R.E.M., Meat Puppets, Tom Waits, and Sarah McLachlan. Bob Carlson was the studio engineer for a lot of those late-night performances.
It almost felt a little bit like the adults had left, and now it was time to have this party. And the bands would come down, they would pile in, they would bring their friends. And so it was a scene. It was a scene there in the studio as much as, you know, a radio program. You were part of this living room party with some of the coolest bands in the world.
KCRW is about to release more than 50 of these remastered live performances to the public. They'll be available Monday. So we invited Mike and Bob to come and tell us about some of their favorite finds.
And the ones that I remember are the ones that where people come in and they try something new. One that comes off the top of my head is the Meat Puppets. One of the performances that you can hear online is them just going through a bunch of stuff almost off the top of their head. They're coming up with what they're going to play next just as they go, almost, even like creating sort of medleys on the fly. It's like a journey of music.
I'm going to choose one that I guess maybe falls more in the publicity tour end of things, but it's Suzanne Vega came in for her second ever radio appearance anywhere in the world in April of 1985.
I believe right now if I could, I would swallow you whole.
Her record hadn't even come out yet. And, you know, early Suzanne Vega was really kind of a spectral presence. I mean, she had this really mystical kind of understated sound that was really, you know, I mean, entirely unique in a lot of ways.
I am friend to the undertow. I take
and there's a version of her song Undertow in particular that I think is really just ravishing.
I have you.
There were also less well-known artists, like groups that Deirdre made famous because of the show with her community, but never really made it kind of like mainstream into big pop.
Yeah. I mean, that's again, you know, a different era because, you know, now where you can basically hear any song you want to hear ever at any time, here you would discover things. You would hear things you couldn't hear anywhere else because Deirdre, you know, she would take trips to London and Dublin and just to buy records. And so she would bring them back and play them here when they weren't even out yet. There was a band called the Blue Airplanes, which is also one of my favorites, and their full-on electric session was like an event. Deirdre used to mishear the lyrics, and there's a line of the song where he says, "Bring structures," and she thought he was always saying, "Send instructions." And so when the Blue Airplanes played that song, he changed the lyrics to Deirdre's version.
Wow, yeah, there's such community and like closeness in that example. I love that. This also got me thinking, how did Deirdre learn about these independent artists? You said she was traveling and like finding records. Where else did she get these ideas from?
Her whole life was music. That was her whole point of living, practically. And so all her friends were musicians. You know, she lived in a rent-controlled apartment in Santa Monica that was just packed full of records, wall to wall. that's really what she cared about.
And one thing I'll say, too, like, is, you know, Deirdre was a scholar, and she made meticulous notes for her shows. I mean, her genius is that she comes off very off the cuff, but she would have pages and pages of notes about every record that she'd bought. She would do deep research on these things.
The recordings that are being released right now, a lot of them were originally recorded on reel-to-reel tape, right? Like, oh, we're talking kind of old mechanics here. Mm-hmm. What was the process of remastering those? Like, how long does something like that take?
For one thing, I had to get our engineers here at KCRW to roll out a reel-to-reel machine, which we didn't use. You know, we had one in storage that we had to get out of mothballs and plug into one of our mixers. And when you have reel-to-reel tapes, after you've had them for a long time, they start to get filled with moisture. So what we used to do in the old days, we would bake them in a convection oven, and then you can dub them off until they go bad again. But I found a food dehydrator, and I bought a $50 food dehydrator on Amazon, and it was even round. They were shaped like reels. It had little baskets for each reel, so it was almost like it was made for the purpose. And that was the beginning of the project. But then that was only the beginning, because she also had boxes and boxes of cassettes, which I handed off to Mike, which he then took over in his home studio of digitizing.
And so, Mike, you just kind of like, did you listen as you dubbed, or what was like?
I mean, that was a dream come true.
Any song or moments from the tapes that you might want to go out on?
Bob, do you have a favorite that you think might send us off into the sunset?
Do you think Nick Cave?
That could work.
Yeah, I mean, again, because I think of the vibe when this thing happened. And one of those that I think about is Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds when they came in. Scarlet fog, the walls are bad, black button kind, the other sick breath that my hand. They kind of got it. They pulled up chairs, put them in a circle. They kind of improvised instruments a little bit. There was, you know, when they saw that we had a piano, so the guy sits down, starts playing. Somebody's playing drums on a box. I am the mercy seat is awaiting, and I think my head is burning. The first song they did on their session, it's called The Mercy Seat. It's a well-known Nick Cave song, but it's just such a crazy vibe. You can hear and feel that they're kind of doing it as they go along.
I love that. And the mercy seat is awaiting, and I think Bob Carlson and Mike Dodge, Weisskopf of KCRW. Thanks for talking with us, guys.
Thank you.
Pleasure is ours.
Starting Monday, you can access the archive of Snap performances through KCRW.com.